So I think one component was that I was able to make that decision. Like, I had enough power in my conviction to make a decision that you couldn't make that decision for me, right? Like, you had many conversations and a lot of different things to say about this and probably ideas and plans. But nonetheless, like, until I was ready to do it, it all came back to me, right? You were there supporting me sometimes, you know, lovingly and sometimes out of frustration, like, get your crap together. But nonetheless, we were still together through the whole thing, right? Like, as a marriage unit, you did not pull apart or separate from me, even though I was embarrassing the crap out of you time and time again. Welcome back to The Donkey.
And The Bee.
Where men are jackasses.
And women are biatches.
Where we work together to build an extraordinary life.
Tune in to up your game in your marriage, entrepreneurship, and finances. Welcome back to the episode of The Donkey and The Bee with your hosts, Brett and Laura Shakavis, where we talk all things marriage, entrepreneurship, and finances. We break things down. We talk about our past successes and our past failures and how we've learned from them. And we hope that you can learn from them as well.
Well, today we're talking about some failures. We're talking about some growth opportunity and how we have used code words in our relationships in order to really tell your spouse when they're being a jackass or maybe a biatch. So we did not start as mature as we are now married, right? Married young.
Very young.
You were 21. I was 23. Really still getting our craft together.
Yes.
And myself in particular had some issues with excessive drinking. And it got to a place where Laura had to create a code word for me to let me know a little bit ahead of time, like, hey, Brett, chill out, right? Like, this is getting, you know, down the dark path here tonight. And so there was many a nights for a long time, unfortunately, where, you know, it just got out of hand and it got stupid. And so we're going to talk about this tonight, how you can talk to your spouse, whether you use a code word or not. But ultimately, Laura supported me through that. And it was mostly my 20s, maybe the tiniest bit of my 30s, but mostly through my entire 20s of acting like a damn fool and embarrassing myself and my wife and our marriage by excessively drinking and doing really stupid things.
So as Brett said, when we first got married, we were very young and we had not experimented, I think, with our limitations with alcohol. And so we were living on our own, obviously together. We were married and we're still very young. We were in the restaurant industry. So we were around a lot of alcohol a lot of times. And so we'd work till midnight and we'd get off. And then what would we do? We'd come home and have a bottle of wine together, or we'd go out with friends out at the bars that stayed open until 2 a.m. And so there were many, many, many circumstances where I just didn't drink because I knew that Brett was going to drink too much and I had to drive home and I had to be responsible. So I was the one who was always drinking the water, and then, you know, Brett would drink and then he would drink a little too much, and it would always be, you know, he'd just be loud, and certain circumstances where it's mostly just loud. You'd be really, really loud and stumbling around and like making jokes and like,
I was the life of the party, but everyone was laughing at me, not with me.
Yes. At you. Yeah. And so, I mean, this just happened, I would say for years. It happened for years because we started young again.
Yeah.
And so I think there came a point where I was like, okay, like, we can't do this anymore. Like, there's too much of me taking you home, taking care of you, putting you to bed, and then you wake up in the morning and then you apologize. Like, it was the replay. It was a groundhog day over and over again.
It was every Friday, Saturday.
Every Friday, Saturday night, where it was the same thing. And I was just like, this has got to stop. Like, we've got to move past this. So we came up, I don't know why we came up with this, but we came up with the code word to tell you. And I had to have a deep conversation with you about this because I said, if I say this code word to you, you're going to get mad. Especially if you're like on the borderline of being wasted.
Because I was angry drunk.
Yes, he wasn't angry drunk. He wasn't like physical or anything, but like he would just get very passionate.
I'm very aggressive.
He's a very intense, aggressive person, but not like physical. I don't want people to think that like you were like, no, hitting people or anything. That's not what we're talking about. And so I wanted to be sure that we were setting boundaries for this code word.
Right.
That if I said this code word, you weren't going to get upset and be like, I'm not drunk. What are you talking about? You know?
Well, that did happen.
It did.
It took me a couple times on the code word to be like, okay, I guess I need to take it down.
Yes. Uh-huh. So it took a few times to figure out what the specific code word would be, because it had to be very specific, this code word. And no one would ever guess what this code word was. The code word was peanut butter pancakes.
Peanut butter pancakes. Peanut butter pancakes.
That's what I don't know why we decided on that.
It will have meaning to me the rest of my life.
Yes. I don't know why we decided on that. There's no meaning really to it. It was super random. And so if there ever was a certain circumstance where he was getting to that point, I would walk up to him, I'd look in the eye, and I'd say peanut butter pancakes. And then he would know, okay, I'm going to stop drinking.
Yeah.
Like, that was it. Like, I have to stop. And so that was the start of the code word, and it worked.
Well, okay, little backstory then, because this was many years of me getting plastered, doing something stupid, losing my cool, embarrassing myself, throwing up in the front yard, whatever it was, right? And then, like, I always had that feeling the next morning. It was like Saturday morning or Sunday morning. I would wake up in bed, and I remember getting to the party. I remember the first couple of drinks, and then I remember nothing after that. And I would have that, like, sinking feeling, like, oh, God, what did I do? Right? I would roll over, look at you, and just see if you had, like, the mad face or not, right? And so this was years of us talking through this discussion of Laura being like, hey, you know, Brett, we got to work on this. And me saying like, hey, we're working on this. And granted, like, Laura, you were drinking too, right? Like, you had plenty of your times where you blacked out and cracked your head open.
I did. Yes.
But nonetheless, I was painting the town red every single time. There was no happy medium. And this was something that I was so hard for me to learn. I don't know why it was so hard for me to learn, but it took me like 10 years of little baby steps, right? And this was part of those baby steps. And I think this is actually like really got me, I don't know, really to understand or to comprehend. And so it was something that actually even our friend group at the time would get behind.
Yes,
and be like,
they were very supportive of
everyone
it.
Was trying to help me. Yes. With this issue here, right? Because it was something that was we were all working on it, or helping me work on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so this was something that Laura was very, very patient for like, what, 10 years or something? I mean, it probably got into maybe 32, 33 years old for me when I finally was like, enough is enough, and like got a handle on my alcohol. But nonetheless, I wanted to have this conversation in the context of, yes, it's a funny story, but nonetheless, there was a decade of embarrassment that you were going through, and you saw the potential you saw that I'm a great husband, even though I have this issue. And you were patient through these things. We had many, many conversations on it. And you were able to say, okay, well, let's just try the next thing, right? Let's have another conversation. Let's try the next thing. We had a lot of things that we tried. And one of them was the peanut butter pancakes, right? It was that something. And it just happened to work for me. It just happened to be silly enough that when I was getting stupid, that it would like trigger me and not make me upset. It was just funny enough that I would get like, okay, cool. Let's just take it down, Brett. Let's be chill. And, you know, it happened to be that, you know, through that period, you know, we had our first daughter. And I think that was really the catalyst for, Brett, let's get your crap together, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you now have this little one. And I actually remember, and I'm sure you do too, the last time that I got stupid wasted.
Yep.
And it was our oldest daughter's first birthday?
No. It was my baby shower for our second daughter.
Okay.
Yes.
So then B was
2.5. Two and a half.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So we're in the backyard.
Yes.
And we had rented a big bounce house.
Yes.
And we had some younger kids, some toddlers, but all of our friends over, barbecuing, mm-hmm. drinking. And I don't remember being like crazy drunk at that point, but I had a good buzz and we like to play hard. And so we were going up this like 2-story inflatable slide thing.
Water slide. Yeah.
And I don't know how, but I jumped on it and I bounced on the stairs part and literally bounced over the railing, probably the 3 or 4 foot railing, and then landed on my head on the concrete outside of the slide.
Yeah.
And then laid there for a good amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was in the middle of the party, right? And like my family was there, your family, all of our friends were there. And it was like, oh my gosh, like I'm here having getting ready for my second daughter. My first daughter is right over there, 2 years old. Why is dad on the ground? Is he okay?
Uh-huh.
Right? And it's like, what the heck? This son of a gun. Like, Brett, you need to get your crap together. And so that was the final straw for me.
Uh-huh.
And since then, okay, this was...
That was... What, so 2014, 8 years ago? So about, no, way longer than that, right?
Oh, okay, 12 years ago.
Ten years ago.
Okay, so 10 years ago. Okay, so then I was 30. This was about 10 years ago. And, okay, so I don't think I've actually gotten drunk since that night. And, you know, we've talked about in other episodes how we stopped drinking. We stopped drinking in October of last year and feel fantastic about it. But nonetheless, it was so... many steps. This was just something that had control over me. Alcohol had so much control over me, and it took me so long and so many steps in this thing. Peanut butter pancakes was one of those. My daughter's being born was one of those things, probably the most powerful in order for me to, I think, have enough conviction over my own, you know, will to be like, Brett, you now need to get your crap together, right? Like, you, what kind of influence you're gonna be for your girls? So through that whole thing, through a lot of good and some stupidness and a lot of embarrassment on your part, you were there through that whole thing for me. And granted, this, you know, you were not perfect neither, right? You have your items, but I think that this was a way that we were able to show grace and patience and really to communicate. There was a lot of different cogs in communication through this whole process of me getting my crap together on this one specific topic.
You're making me sound a little more like an angel than I really was, to be honest with you.
Kind of.
You say that I had a lot of patience through it, and I did, but it was a frustrated patience.
Uh-huh.
So I don't see that as patience. It was an immature patience that I was learning myself at the time. And so I feel like you give me credit where credit is not due. But I was still open to helping you through it more in a... to be honest, maybe in a selfish way, like, gosh, like, I'm so sick of being embarrassed and like, let's just be done with this type of vibe. Whereas if we were in this situation now, I think I would look at it differently because of the maturity in the past decade. I would be like, hey, we need to help you. How is this going to benefit you? And so anyways, I was just frustrated as all get out. I know that. And so I think not only... you wanted to be an example for our daughters, but also you seeing me frustrated, I'm sure was probably something that's like, well, gosh, like I'm frustrating my wife. I'm not being a good example for my kids. Like I need to turn this around. So I think that's where it kind of came to the tipping point. And I can attest to your statement of the last time you did get excessively drunk was that night at the baby shower. That was the last night that I've ever seen you have alcohol take over you. And that was over a decade ago. So that was the last time. That was definitely the last straw. And you making that like 180 degree turn.
Yeah. So I think one component was that I was able to make that decision. Like I had enough power in my conviction to make a decision that you couldn't make the decision for me. Right? Like you had many conversations and a lot of different things to say about this and probably ideas and plans. But nonetheless, like until I was ready to do it, it all came back to me, right? You were there supporting me sometimes, you know, lovingly and sometimes out of frustration, like get your crap together. But nonetheless, we were still together through the whole thing, right? Like as a marriage unit, you did not pull apart or separate from me, even though I was embarrassing the crap out of you time and time again.
So beside from... having another daughter kind of in the lineup here and having a past experience of maybe embarrassing friends and myself, was there anything specific that you'd say was the reason why you decided to stop drinking excessively?
Well, I made, I think, many decisions to stop drinking excessively. I was just never able to hold myself to it. So I think that the underlying change was that between the years 21 and 30 or 31, I grew personally, intellectually, self-confidence-wise. I grew in my discipline. I grew in my character, and I matured. And I think that is a lot of the reason why I was able to say, now is the time, enough is enough. Like, I was mature enough to say, I'm not going to do this anymore. And I didn't stop drinking, but I never have been drunk since then. And I think it was just a me thing growing in myself to the point where now I was strong enough that whatever hold it had on me was now weaker.
We always talk about business and relationships, whatever, being kind of like a game. Would you say that it was almost a game against yourself in a way, and you were trying to beat yourself in that game of the mental strength against drinking excessively?
I never considered it in the fashion of a game. I think of business and many things as a game, but I think in the terms of growth. I think in growing in all different facets of life. And I think that I grew enough that I was like, well, this bondage is now too weak. I can actually break out of this. I can push away. And, you know, now I'm stronger. Now, push that forward, because that was 10 years ago. I still, for the decade after that, or 9 years after that, almost every day had 1 to 2 drinks. After work, it was still, you know, there was this craving, right? Never drunk, but still, nonetheless, a bottle of wine, glass of beer. Said that wrong.
Yeah, I was like, not glass a bottle of wine, yeah.
Bottle of beer. Yeah, right? Exactly. Not the opposite. And until like a year ago or so, right, when we had another conversation, and I think it's this analogy of I grew. I got stronger, not physically, but intellectually, emotionally, in my grit, in my determination. I'm now strong enough to say, where I could not for that decade, that I'm not going to drink alcohol anymore. And it was literally just a conversation like that we had several months ago. And I said, hey, babe, here's why I am now classifying alcohol in my mind as a poison, and therefore I'm choosing not to do it. And that was clearly a maturity thing, because for the, you know, 5 to 10 years prior to that, I kept thinking over and over again, like, why am I craving at 4:30? Why am I craving a beer, right? Like, how do I stop this? Like, I couldn't. I could go for a couple of days until I actually got to a point. And I think it's really just this growth cycle that people talk about for business, for entrepreneurship, for all these different aspects. I use that to break the power or the hold of, you know, I don't want to call it an addiction. Some people may have an addiction, but I had a strong craving every day. And I said, no, like, I am now mature enough or strong enough that that's just not who I'm going to do. I'm not going to be that anymore.
So I hate to say the cliche thing that most people say in relationships, but I think the first step I'd say in this is communication. And I think it doesn't have to be perfect. The conversations we had of quote unquote support that, you know, we talked about in this podcast, was never, oh, honey, I support you. Let's figure this out. Like, sometimes I was crying and yelling like, hey,
yeah,
get your crap together. Like, what can I do to support you, to help you in this? And it wasn't necessarily butterflies. And so I think just having the open conversation is very important. So I think that would be the first step that I would tell people to take if you're in a similar circumstance as this.
So there's definitely that. It was a lot of patience. It was a lot of conversations, a lot of grace, a lot of forgiveness, actually. A lot of me apologizing on my side and then doing it again, but coming back and apologizing again. But I think that sometimes you or your spouse actually may need help, like a professional to help you with some of these issues. And sometimes it may be kind of more along the lines of my story of strengthening, growing yourself, maturing, reading books on topics, reading podcasts on topics. Honestly, reading a book on what alcohol is scientifically, chemically, really changed my perspective on what it is. And it really gave me the mental understanding and therefore power to overcome it. And whatever it is, but there's multiple ways to go at this. But I think the underlying theme in this is that you are supporting me in my shortcomings, being really, really gracious and perhaps still having your frustrations, but being by my side the whole time through the thick and thin, and vice versa, right? Like when you have your things that you're working on, we are here for each other.
Well, thanks again for joining us on The Donkey and the Bee. And we have one ask today, that you would share this show with someone in your life that you think needs to hear it. Like and subscribe below, and we will see you on the next one.